Welcome to Fear Me, a podcast about The Walking Dead.
Fear Me. You don't see me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
I'm Stuart.
And Scott.
And welcome to the Fear Me podcast, where we are now reviewing Fear the Walking Dead. Season 2, Episode 1. Yes.
Long time coming.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. So, is it okay if I go first this time?
Knock it out.
Okay. So, I just wanted to admit that I am actually very excited about this episode. I really enjoyed it. I thought the storyline was super interesting. We had floaters. We had the idea of pirates. Yes, floaters, mm-hmm. which is something I was really looking forward to. We had a dead body on the boat for 24 hours, even though she was shot in the head. Who knows what could have happened? We got to actually see Cobalt, Operation Cobalt. So that helped me with the idea that they took away our 9 days from last season. So at least we got to see some of what happened with the military. Mm-hmm. And then the race to get off the beach to get to Strand's yacht was awesome. And then, of course, the famous propeller scene. So I loved it. I thought it was great, and I stand corrected.
That's good. That's good to hear, because I thought you coming into it, you did not seem like you were really looking forward to it that much.
I was not looking forward to it until the end of The Walking Dead, and then it was like, okay, well, now I can start to look forward to it because I don't have Walking Dead to watch anymore for this year. And so I had to just get that out of my system, and then I could move on. And then, like, maybe that day is when I started getting excited about seeing this premiere. But then when I saw it, I was pleasantly surprised. So now I have high hopes for the season, so they better not disappoint me.
Well, I piggyback everything you said. I mean, aquatic zombies and pirates.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
I will take those any day. That the opening sequence was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was full of energy. It was exciting. The music made it very tense. But then it was very very dramatic music, mm-hmm. and then it slid right into the title of the show, which I thought was great. You know, they didn't bring in their usual sound effect that comes with the title, Fear of the Walking Dead. They actually played it within the music,
yeah.
And I thought it worked perfectly. And just seeing mm-hmm. The burning of Los Angeles and so forth was just great. Absolutely got pulled in right off the bat. As far as I'm concerned, that's the way I wanted to see this season start.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree. It was good. And after the first 6 episodes and how slow everything was and how they're stuck in the neighborhood, I don't know if they took a bunch of cues from, you know, what had been working with The Walking Dead on this, or if it was in the works the entire time. But it definitely worked so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there were some confusing things at the start, but
sure,
just like, you know, there was a little bit of lost time, but it was, you know, it's fine. You caught up, you figured out what was going on, and it was just the pace of it was so much better than what we had been seeing from the first 6 pilots, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
You know, the trial season that seemed to kind of run aground. But this was actually really good. We already know the characters a little bit better, so maybe that helps out some. On that scene,
right? We're not
as well.
Having to learn them again,
right? And we had a lot of zombies being attacking people.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that always helps.
So yeah, that does help. I mean, that's the one thing. You know, this show hasn't had an overwhelming amount of zombies in it, and that's okay. I mean, you know, it was starting out with, you know, last season with just showing the beginnings of the whole thing, so it's okay that they didn't have a ton of walkers in that. But now they're starting to bring the walkers, and it's a nice background tension.
As you say, the thing about last season was that it was very disconcerting that the zombies that we did see were mostly human. They didn't look like zombies. Mm-hmm. And now, finally, in this episode, we're starting to see some decay happen, And so they're starting to become like the zombies that we all know and love. But when they do look human, it's not a zombie show. It's somebody's murdering you, like a mass horde is murdering you. So.
Yeah, and I think you still have some of that transformation going on in that too. I think some of the zombies still, like you said, they're starting to show a little bit of decay. Mm-hmm. But I think on beginning notes from those other earlier episodes, the first few episodes kind of were building it all up, that there was going to be like this kind of big breakthrough moment where everything was falling apart. And then all of a sudden they were trapped within, you know, the confines of their protected area. And that was kind of it until they ran across Strand. So
it was a little bit too much like being on Herschel's farm there for a while.
Yeah, right. They just got kind of, they locked them away from everything that was interesting to the viewer.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think now we're finally getting outside of the gates of what all that was and, and seeing what's happening. Even though they're getting on the boat, it's still, I mean, you got floaters. I mean,
I loved all the, radio traffic.
Me too.
Yes.
Hearing the other boats and so forth and what's going on there.
Which is what you had pointed out earlier in the Fear of the Walking Dead season, that they didn't have any of that. They didn't have that texture of like what's going on around in society as it's falling apart. So.
Right. They're only their little neighborhood, but there was a lot more going on and people would know a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, because there are people out there with electronics still going.
Yep.
I mean, and you know, if you're getting on a boat like that, you're going to have a strong radio on a boat like that.
Oh, yeah. But they could start to piece together the bits and pieces of the story of the zombie apocalypse that they know of and figure out where to go and what to do. So.
And I hope they do follow through on that. I hope they continue talking about things that are happening on land and at sea.
God, me too.
So that we get some. We get some feel for what's going on in the country.
Yes.
But nonetheless, their first jump on the boat was great. Well, and I see a lot of possibilities there.
Sounds like they're going to be pretty preoccupied.
Mm-hmm. Well, even with the boat, Strand said it could go 3,000 miles, right? So they could easily pick up signals from other countries.
Yeah.
If they get close. Because he said it could go all the way to Ecuador, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that would be cool. Very cool. All right. Do you guys want to jump into the episode itself? And
hell yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Roll.
So when it first opened, did you guys realize what was happening with LA?
Well, you know, I didn't because I texted you trying to figure it out.
It's like everybody's having a bonfire now. Sweet. Like,
what happened? What happened? Why is everybody on fire?
Yeah, I at first I was a little confused, especially because they had some very controlled fires on the beach itself.
Right, right.
Which, that seems a bit unlikely.
Looked a little fakey. Yeah, those looked a little fakey, and some of the explosions were kind of weak. But yeah.
Well, I think the weird thing was the explosion kept coming from the exact same spot.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like you just kept seeing this flash coming from the exact same spot. So it was like, what's going on over
there?
Yeah, right. There must be a rave over there. And yeah, I think a lot of the bonfires were just like little, you know, bonfires.
Well, they didn't look like where some missile had landed or a bomb or something.
No, and plus you're on a beach and you see fires like around. It's like, well, maybe they're just hanging out on the beach.
Right.
But yeah, with the stuff up in the hills, it was like, okay, well, this is a little bit more out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since we left them off with the whole cobalt thing, I felt a little gypped that we didn't see like cobalt happen.
Right.
Like the you know, mass bombing.
Yeah, we saw it in progress. I do kind of find it a little interesting that they didn't just use a tactical nuke on the city and just take care of it like that.
Yeah.
Because they certainly have them in the arsenal.
Well, you got to think this is probably happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure. Carpet bombing the place may be the best way to just try and annihilate a huge majority of the problem, I guess.
Right, or as you say, maybe that's all they had.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it spread out everywhere.
Well, I was trying to think of the timeline, because when we left them off at the last season, the mom had just been killed. And it was, I would say, what, like early afternoon, maybe?
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm wondering, did they start bombing first and then they were like, shit, we got to get our stuff in gear and get on that boat?
I think so. I think so. I think since we saw them, they were preparing to leave. They were gathering what they needed and so forth. But I think the bombing started and hastened it all because they seemed frantic to get out to the boat as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it did catch them unawares, and they did have to jump on the boat real fast.
Yeah. Well, I was also wondering about all the walkers. I mean, I think that the bombings and all the light and sound probably, I don't know, forced them towards the beach, but why right there? And how did they get down to the beach so fast?
Well, they fell, I guess. I don't know.
They could have fallen. That's a good point.
Well, you know, but the one thing, though, that I did find a little strange, and it's, you know, again, it's being pretty nitpicky, but I don't think I've ever seen the walkers driven away from a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've always just kind of walked into whatever was coming at them.
Well,
so,
yeah, because remember when Daryl lit the lake on fire at Alexandria, they went into it.
Yeah, they just walked right in. So why would the walkers be forced out to the beach?
Exactly. That's a good point. Why are they doing the opposites on the two different shows? Things that make you go, hmm.
And there were a bunch of fires.
They were going to walk on the fire. Exactly. They were on a walkabout.
They should have decimated the entire city that way.
Yeah. But you know what? Look, you know, again, it's being nitpicky. I think the scene was great. I tell you one thing I liked too, is I liked seeing Maggie and Travis finally learning how to, or not Maggie, excuse me, Maddie.
Why did they do that?
Maddie and, I don't know, that's wrong. But Maddie and Travis finally learning how to kill walkers.
Oh, I know. They were going gangbusters.
Finally learning, you got to go after the head. They finally are figuring this out.
Yeah, quick.
Yeah, and it's good. They needed to. It was getting old. Mm-hmm. It was getting old with Travis trying to, make everybody want to sit in a circle and be calm. It's time to take out some walkers. Baby.
Another prayer circle.
Yes.
I'm still sensing some coincidences here between the other show. But that's okay. All right. So the thing with the mom, though, the dead mom.
Yeah.
That was kind of creeping me out. I mean, I was trying to put myself in his situation, and I would probably be doing the same thing. But she's dead. Like, why do you need to bring her on the boat with you?
He hadn't dealt with it yet.
Yeah,
obviously. I mean, if you see your mom get shot in the head
by your dad,
it's gonna be kind of hard to take.
But they've obviously made some transformations in their thinking, slightly.
If
they're like okay with killing stuff, and I think it's time to stop appeasing little Mr. Chris.
I agree, but I certainly don't. I didn't think it was unrealistic for him to be acting like that.
Yeah.
No. I didn't think it was out of the ordinary. No.
It is getting tiresome.
Yes.
But I couldn't fault it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it continues on for the rest of the season, then I'm going to be like, yeah, man overboard. That I won't be happy about, because I am getting a little tired of his. Is moping around.
This mom overboard.
Stuff.
Oh, wait. Did you talk about the prop walker?
No.
Oh, no. Sorry. I forgot about that.
You cannot leave that guy behind.
That was
a good moment.
Propeller face.
Yes.
Yeah, that was wicked.
That dude definitely got ripped up big time.
That has to be one
Nick,
of my favorites.
Nick seemed to be taking it just fine.
He did, this, actually.
All his gore's flying on him, and he's just kind of sitting there. That
was so cool.
Just another flashback.
To see the progression of his face from just being perfectly fine to being gnarly.
Yeah.
I don't know where that guy came from either. He just kind of popped out of the water all of a sudden.
I think he fell in the water and then stood up.
I think so, too.
Well, he was the one they showed, pop up out of the water and start walking at him.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're lucky that they
got out of there. It was a good move, man. Turn that engine up at him.
I would have liked to have seen them, in all truth, I would like to have seen him fighting off even more walkers in the water.
Yeah.
With that scene. You know, a whole bunch of them chasing him down.
Yeah. That was a really intense scene.
Yes, without a doubt.
And it it set the pace for the rest of the episode, which is exactly what they needed to do coming off of last season.
Yes.
Since it was so slow.
And it's, yeah, right, without a doubt. And I'm still, you know, we still got the mystery of what's going on with Strand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I still can't quite figure out what Strand wants them for.
I know.
He's very supportive of Nick. I mean, you know, even when Nick comes up with the, you know, rides the boat up onto the back of the yacht, he's like, good job, Nick, or well done, Nick, you know. So.
Because Nick's resourceful.
Nick is resourceful.
And he gets it done. He doesn't stress out over the moment, and he's not, you know.
I'll tell you one thing.
Nick wasn't there, they wouldn't have gotten back.
No, without a doubt. I tell you one thing, though, that I did also really like about this episode. No more wailing about Nick's drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I'm so tired of that.
Yes.
Let's just have Nick as a guy, okay?
I hate to say it. They're probably going to go back into all that stuff next episode.
Well, I hope not. He seemed to be doing very fine without the drugs.
Yep.
In this episode.
But do we really know that he doesn't have drugs? I think he probably has some.
Oh, you think Strand's still feeding him stuff?
Yeah. I think that's why he was so calm and collected.
Because that was the one thing Strand was like, I can control you.
I hadn't thought about that.
You know.
That's an interesting point. I had not thought about it, that he's stringing him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise he would be going through his withdrawals again. He was hanging out
on the deck.
Right.
In the sun, just baking.
Yep.
Taking a swim.
Super chill.
In his Dale clothes. His Dale outfit.
But, God, at least he took the jacket off for a while and aired out.
For God's sakes, I seriously hope that after his foray into the shot-up boat, that maybe it's the end of his outfit.
God, I hope so.
You're not getting seawater out of that thing too easily.
I know.
It's so ridiculous.
That guy's a lot cleaner than Daryl is, though.
Well, this is true.
At least he's jumping in the water every now and then.
But his hair.
But Nick, for God's sakes, get a comb.
His hair is still a stringy, yucky mess.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. True. I just want to throw him in the shower and wash it. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. But, Strand, I am so confused about this guy. Like, in one respect, I really like him. I love him as a character. But I like him as a guy. And I like how he's being so strong and like, this is my boat. You do things my way. But then I'm also like, he's got something up his sleeve. Like, what was he doing before the apocalypse even happened that made him prepared for leaving on the boat?
Well, I don't think they gave us enough information for all that. But he does. The one thing that was weird to me, that he was like so sure of himself that he had to go to San Diego with someone that is... supposedly has, well, from what we're seeing from the character, seems to have so much more information. Like, what the hell's in San Diego?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, he gave an explanation is because of the naval base there and so forth. But you still get the feeling he knows more.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew a lot more just with the boat, the desalination, with the, I mean, you know.
Well, let me say this, too. The supposedly, when he was talking to himself... I don't think he was talking to himself. I think he was talking to somebody.
I forgot about that.
He played it off as talking to himself. Mm-hmm. But I think he was in communication with somebody up on the top mast.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Good point.
So I think he's still got some contacts out there.
He's got to be like a government, some sort of government guy.
Operative. But what happens when he finds his people? Or whoever he's in cahoots with. What happens to our gang?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, I definitely don't think he was talking to himself, guys. I really don't.
No, that's a good point. I still do like him, though.
Oh, I do, too. He's a great character.
He's a great character. And he wears some really cool clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a nice yacht, and he just automatically has the blue sweater, cable knit sweater with the blue hat.
Yep. And he's drinking a nice cup of coffee and a nice glass up on the top deck talking to Nick.
Yep.
I do love his line when he said, when they said, well, where are we going to go? And he says, I don't know. And he says, the whole world is I don't know now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was a great line.
He had some great lines all throughout the...
Mm-hmm. Well, the scene when they see the all the other people on the smaller craft.
Yeah.
And they're just going by creepy. Like really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was, I think it it was a good setup for just kind of building each of the characters at that point. Because you're, of course, Strand's not going to want these people on the boat. Like, he has he's not getting anything out of them. It's opened them up to so many other problems. But to see, like, Travis and Madison and, like, how they all, you know, perceived what they should do with these people was actually different than how I would have thought each of them would have been.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what to make of Madison. Because, you know, one minute she's, you know, worrying about these other survivors and so forth out there, and the next minute she's cold to her own kids.
Well, she was okay with, like, the torture that Salazar did, like, early on. But then she was fine, or she wasn't fine. She was, like, really stressed out about leaving the other those people on the boat, wasn't she?
Yeah, right. So.
Well, I think it's one of those things where if it benefits her or benefits them in the long run, then she's all for it, like the torture that Salazar was doing. And then, but she also still has a bit of humanity in her. And when she sees a boat that's overturned full of people, which, again, wonder how that happened now that we know some more information. But she, her automatic response is, let's save these people because we have a huge boat. And I think that's the typical response of anybody.
Yeah. Well, but Travis was the one that shocked me.
But Travis was very practical. Travis came back with the practical answer.
He was like, yeah, well, let me go talk to the captain as I walk really slowly over here.
Why don't you go play with the radio?
Yeah, I mean, what would you guys have done in that situation?
I think I probably would have done what Travis did.
I would have
I would have saved the people, probably.
Ugh,
but that's why I would have died. I totally would die in an apocalypse. But, yeah, I mean, you got plenty of room. They got liquor. They could have a party.
Play with the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
Stuart, go see what you can pick up on the radio.
Here's something shiny, Stuart. Go play with it.
Throw it on the floor. Excellent.
Oh, go chase it. You have like a laser pointer, and I'm like, ooh, I got it. I got it.
Oh, go get us a new beer, Stu.
Only if I get one.
Well, my first reaction was, don't let them on the boat because your boat's going to tip over. Because if you do it with these people, you're going to have to do it with every group you come across. It was like when we lived in Florida and the Haitians would come ashore.
Right.
That's what it reminded me of.
But the one thing is, I think I would be more in Stu's camp if there were a smaller amount of people on that boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we came across one with, like, five people on it.
Well, yeah. That's true. There were a lot of people.
Then I would say, yeah, pick them up.
Yeah.
There was too many people. I mean, you know, there had to be 20 people on that damn thing.
Right.
They would overcrowd that boat in a minute.
Right. I don't think that I would have thought the way Strand did in terms of they could be bad people and be out to get us or to steal our stuff.
Right.
I don't think I would be like that. However, later on, yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, things start change. Showing themselves. But I think I would be more in Travis's position where he was. I think he really was calculating how that many people would survive on that boat.
Yeah.
With the limited resources they already have.
Yeah.
Because they don't have anything, really, right?
Yeah. Oh, and then that's when Strand said that other awesome line where he was like, if I stop this boat, it's going to be to let people off.
Yes, that was awesome.
Exactly.
That was good. And so why do you think, was it Travis that said Alicia should be checking the radio for people?
Yes.
For survivors?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he handed it to her?
Because he wanted to get her.
Yeah,
because
she was showing like concern about the people that were.
Yeah, and I think he was feeling, you know, he was embarrassed in a way to say that we had to leave him. So I think he was just trying to get her focused on something.
Uh-huh.
And someone needed to listen to the radio, so he just picked her.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thinking.
Some good thinking there, Scott.
Wow, thank you kindly.
No, I would agree. He was just trying to get her out of the picture because she was actually getting ready to get pretty pissed off about it, it seemed like.
But I was wondering, why did she stop on that particular channel? Was it 16 or something?
It was the music.
the music just grabbed her attention.
Yeah, and by the way, that song mm-hmm. is awesome. I don't know if have you seen the lyrics to it or heard the lyrics?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. You want me to read them to you? Just sure. one stanza?
Go ahead.
Oh, God, please don't.
Says, so many mothers sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left to cry in. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried out, cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew he wasn't lying.
Hmm.
I thought that was great.
So it's kind of about the end of the world.
Yep. Exactly. It's called 5 Years.
Huh. That's appropriate.
So, yeah, it really was. It was a very appropriate song. So I thought that was pretty cool. But that's what got her attention.
I have to say the lines coming from that guy, they were weird. Just in how he was delivering it.
You think?
Yeah, did you? I mean, were you buying his thing?
The
like
Jack guy?
I was. Yeah, I thought he sounded sincere.
Yeah, I mean, even at the beginning.
I think we figure he didn't. He isn't, but I thought he sounded sincere.
It seemed weird to me. I don't know what it was. It was just the way he was delivering it. It seemed like he was faking it. And I was like, God, they got a really bad actor for this. Until it all played out. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, initially I was like, this is just like.
I think they both were, I think, you know, okay, let's say that this was a legitimate conversation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of the conversation was kind of, you know, touch and go, you know, and it was feeling each other out because, you know, he wouldn't reveal his location either. Remember?
Right. Yeah.
And so that, to me, that's what made it sound like it was real, is that this guy sounded like he was trying to be careful too.
Right.
Right. But at the, start he was like, hey, I hear you out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, don't be shy. I understand. And it was just kind of like, oh, all right. Like,
yeah.
And that's where I was like, okay, this is really odd. Looking back on it, though, from where he was coming from, he was fishing. He was totally fishing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you could, I mean, you can, if you went back and listened to it again, is what I'm saying, you can tell this guy is totally playing her.
Yeah. And I listened to it a second time for that very reason, just to hear that. And and you're right. But even the second time I heard it, though, he did sound very sincere. In a lot of the pieces of it.
Right, and I think he started talking because he heard her clicking on the mouthpiece.
She engaged it.
Yeah. So I think that he was, well, I mean, obviously, he was just trying to get her to talk. But he knows that if somebody's hesitating to talk on the radio, that there's someone that is scared, which means they can easily be manipulated.
So do you think these guys are pirates?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Before we go into that though, that whole setup with her in that, I was like, God, why are they milking this storyline with her again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is terrible. I thought they were doing the whole thing with her and Chris again, you know, and when they were tearing up that guy's house and they had the drone. Right. Weren't they playing with like a drone or something? Anyways. So I was like, oh, God. Yeah. I was like, why are they doing this again?
Mm-hmm. You mean as far as her on the radio?
Yeah. Why pay attention to her?
Yeah.
And it worked out beautifully.
Yep.
Because you've got like a whole, you've got the saviors here. You got these pirates that are coming for him right now.
We don't wholeheartedly know, even though he was very cryptic in the end in what he said.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, he...
I'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah, I'll be seeing you soon. I got you now.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome, I thought. I mean, it brought everything back together. I was like, okay, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, no
Well,
doubt.
When Strand sees the boat on the radar, and he gets nervous, and he's like, we gotta go. And then you hear Jack say, I got you now. I'm like, oh, shit, it's going down.
Yep. I'm like, let's get that dinghy going a little
Maybe
bit faster.
Maybe we'll see Johnny Depp in Fear, too. That would be some.
Captain Jack?
Oh, Captain Jack. There you go right there, Stuart.
Very nice, very nice.
A happy accident.
One thing, though, that's still bugging me with this show, and it's the one thing that I like about The Walking Dead, is there are characters on The Walking Dead I can identify with mm-hmm. and I like. I haven't found those characters yet with these folks. This is a dysfunctional family on steroids.
You don't like Nick?
Oh my God! There's no warmth between anybody on the show.
No.
Even between Travis and Maggie.
Well, Maddie. Well, I think that was one thing I thought that's just kind of weird about the characters in this one is Travis and Maddie are kind of the soul of the family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of flat characters.
They are.
And they're, I don't know if it's because they're up and down and like, you know, their likes, dislikes, what they're willing to do, what they don't want to do, or I don't know, but that I could care less about those two. And I mean, Nick is probably the only one. I like Nick. I like Strand. I like,
guy from El Salvador. Daniel Salazar.
Yeah. Daniel. Mm-hmm. Daniel Salazar. I like Daniel Salazar. But man, Madison and Travis don't really have it going on at all.
No,
they really are not leaders at all.
Well, not only that, they're just, you know, as a family unit, they are a very cold family unit. I mean, between, you know, Chris and Alicia and, who else am I missing? Nick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just not a bunch of warmth with anybody. And I would really like Nick if he didn't have all that drug addiction baggage. I think that's kind of, I could see Nick as being kind of the Glenn type guy on the show if he didn't have all that, you know, baggage that makes him do bad stuff.
Right.
I think they're trying to make him I don't want to do comparisons between the show too much, but they're kind of making him more kind of the Daryl guy.
Yeah.
Well, except Daryl's just really crude. I think he's
a resourceful guy that is going to do whatever he needs to do. You know, he's from the streets and he's going
to
find a solution.
He's a lot slicker though. He's a lot slicker.
He
is. Than Daryl,
yeah, he's very intelligent.
Crude. Daryl's a hammer and this guy's a knife.
Yep. Yeah. He and Salazar and I'd say Strand are well above any of the other characters. Mm-hmm. As far as intelligence and plotting and planning and whatever.
Right.
So,
yeah, but
much more interesting.
I don't think at this point still, if I would not be too upset if any of them died. Like,
right, it wouldn't be crushing.
Yeah, if any of them got taken off the show, I think the only one I would be worried or upset about is maybe Strand. Like, he's my favorite character so far. But
Nick, I'd be like, what the hell?
Well, I'm just not there for anybody yet.
I'd like to quickly get Chris over his mess. I mean, if we have to have anybody kind of being shocked and kind of out of it, let it just be Ophelia. I mean, she's just in the background looking like the world just beat up on her. just leave it at that with her.
She reminds me of the Carol character almost.
Carol, the original?
When she was first, when she was first introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think when we first saw her, I looked at Cam and I was like, who is that?
Yeah, Stuart didn't even remember her.
Like, who is it? She looks weird. Who is that woman?
That's fine. I mean, if you want to have one of them be traumatized, let it be her. I mean, let's get over the Chris thing. Let's get Chris back to being somewhat of a normal kid.
Well, he did jump in the water to go for a swim, so...
Yeah, but I don't know what that was about.
And he dumped his mom's body overboard.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which
is weird. He's acting
out,
Kim. He's a child acting out.
Exactly. I think it's going to be a while before he turns around.
Well, when he did that, what were you thinking?
When he dumped his mom?
Yeah.
I thought he was pissed at his dad.
Yeah, I think he thought it was all bullshit.
Yeah, he didn't think that he had the right to say anything over her body. And then if anybody had the right to do it, he should have been doing it. Which he could have. He could have just stepped up to the plate and said something, but he didn't.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And then he treats her body that way, which was very surprising to me because he had just spent the entire day by her side. And then to end it so abruptly.
And a tantrum.
Yeah, exactly. You smack the little shit up against the face and...
Yeah.
Call it good.
Maybe he'll feel bad about smacking his dad, and some of that stuff will work out. It's just really, you know, the teenage garbage is just, that's the one thing that's dragging this show down, is characters that you can like, and the kids. There's just too much kids action.
I agree, because also the dad, Travis, when he did hit him, and he stepped out of the room, and I was like, uh-uh, you don't leave him in the room by himself after he just hit you in the face. Like, that's when you stand up and be a dad. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I guess he's upset. I'll leave him alone. No, no.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Travis is just not very believable.
No,
as
he's
a
not.
As a father, you know? I mean, he doesn't play it, you know, they don't play him as having been an absent father.
Right.
They play him as having been very involved with his kids, so he seems to be kind of cold and bewildered with what his children are doing.
He's a freaking teacher, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He should know how to deal with kids this age, mm-hmm. a teacher with high school students.
Yeah, and Madison's a counselor, a school counselor, and she's got no warmth in her to any of these kids at all. And she does come in and say to, you know, Chris, talk to him about the fact that she would have shot Chris's mom also.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want anybody she loved to do that. But you know, I was the scene where she's out on the deck talking to Alicia about the radio, and Alicia mm-hmm. was kind of like, just let me do this. This is what I want to do. And she kind of looked at her and she went, all right. Instead of, you know, being encouraging or anything, you know, she just kind of like, all right, and then walked away.
I think Salazar is like one of the best parents on the ship. I mean, at least he had a conversation with Chris and made it seem personal.
We don't talk, we fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good line. Let me show you how to torture someone.
We'll torture the seal. We'll take it apart layer by layer.
Yeah, right.
Which, by that dinner they served, looked
how
gross.
Touching.
It looked like a big liver that they just put on a plate and set in front of everybody. And I was like, oh my God, I would gag.
But he said the meat was good.
It better have been, because it was pretty black looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they never got to touch it. Chris went for a swim. And that kind of screwed everything up.
Yes, it did.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, yes.
So that food, that meal's still sitting on the table. That's sad.
I know.
Somebody went to a lot of trouble.
Yeah, but after they go for their swim, they can come back and eat it.
Great ending scene, though.
Yeah.
He jumps in, and then Nick jumps in, and you got that overturned boat with all the bullet holes in it. And
the scene of Nick underwater
mm-hmm.
the best.
Was beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was like a dream or a nightmare.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really cool sequence, and the photography was fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, it was shot.
I agree.
I saw that
really cool.
They had shot that in a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember where they said they were at now. It was like, I can't remember if they said it was like a military training pool.
Well, they have this the pool that was used for Titanic, I think.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's where they're shooting all the boat scenes and so forth.
Yeah, that's right.
It's called the Horizon Pool or something, because it goes out a ways, and then when you get it at a certain angle, you don't see the edge of the pool. You just see it going on to the horizon.
Oh.
So that's how they get those long shots.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was really interesting.
But the floater.
Mm-hmm. Which, you got a floater.
I'm so glad we've been able to coin this term now.
Yeah, I know. I put that out on Twitter, and everybody was like, oh, yeah. There's like tons of likes. People were retweeting like crazy.
Yeah, somebody said, that is epic.
Floater.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, our floater.
So if this goes viral, we're the ones that did it, guys. It was us.
Yes.
It was all us.
We lay claim to floaters.
Yes. But since we do have...
However wrong that is.
I never thought I would say that. I lay claim to floaters.
Scott, you've laid claim to many floaters.
Shut the hell up. Oh, my God. That's just terrible.
Means you're eating healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right. As I was going to say... I'm really excited that they paid attention, and I think I said this during our last episode too, but I'm really glad that they paid attention to body decomposition and the fact that
mm-hmm.
There's gas buildup, So, and since they're dead, they wouldn't be able to physically move their body, but they're floating because of the gas buildup. I'm glad they paid attention to all of that stuff because it made it more realistic. And mm-hmm. obviously it would have been scarier if they could actually swim towards you. But the fact that they don't really have control of their body and they're just floating and you have to somehow get away from them, especially in tight quarters, like when Nick was in that overturned boat, that's pretty damn scary to me.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool when they pulled Chris on board, and there was somebody else there with the life vest, and I didn't realize it was actually one of the walkers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was grabbing onto him.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was like, because I looked at it and I said, oh, there's somebody with a life vest. It looked like a person, you know? And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, shit, that's a walker.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize why that other walker, like, stopped going after Nick until after they were talking about him
floater.
Talking dead.
It is a floater.
Oh, I'm sorry, the floater. Excuse me, the floater. when he was inside the boat hole.
Yeah, that's the one I agree with you. I don't know why it all well,
they said
stopped fighting.
They said that Travis was yelling or somebody was yelling in the background, and that's why the walker, the floater, turned. Mm-hmm. And stop going after him. But
so, I think but the walker's got food in its hands.
Exactly. I thought that was a bit unrealistic.
It's not going to care what the hell sounds about. So what do you think is the deal with that boat? I mean, he grabbed the log. There's evidently going to be something interesting about the log that they have.
Well, honestly, the first time that we saw that boat, I thought it was the airplane. Especially.
Yeah, you said something about an airplane. I'm not sure what you were talking about with an airplane.
Well, what do you mean?
Flight 462, buddy.
462.
Oh, that. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yeah. We still didn't see any of those characters.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
Kim was hoping that was going to happen this episode.
I still think that's going to be near the end of the season.
What do you think?
Well, they kept saying that character was going to be on the premiere. I thought.
No, so they just said they're going to be on this season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I misunderstood. But the when we first saw the smaller boat with the tons of people on it, I thought that was probably the airplane. And then this time when we saw that boat, when the floater came up with the life jacket on, I was like, dude, it's the airplane.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
so that leads me to ask the question, if they're heading south, they're going to have to come back to L.A. Basin then to find the plane.
Yeah.
I guess we have seen the end of Tobias.
Maybe not.
Yeah, but how does that work? You're on a boat. You're heading down to San Diego. You got this one kid running around trying to escape. How would they run into him again? That's a big reach.
It is a big reach. But, I mean, obviously we know that Nick saw the airplane in distress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was in L.A. So somehow they got to get back to L.A. They're only going to San Diego.
Right.
So somehow they got to get back. I have no idea. But the actor, Lincoln Castellanos, he said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when his character comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I think they're going to do it. I have no idea. But no, when I first saw the ship, after I realized it wasn't the airplane, I was a bit confused because I did see the bullet holes, which I didn't realize were bullet holes at first. But that one floater that was underneath the boat with Nick, she looked kind of decayed. So it made me think, how long have they been in that situation?
That's a good point. Because he was also tied to the logbook.
Yes.
So I had the feeling that he was probably a crew member or the captain.
Or the captain, right.
But you're right. He was pretty tore up.
Yeah.
Unless he got tore up inside the boat.
I mean, maybe some fish or something. You know, it's hot.
That or he got shot up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, well, I don't...
Yeah, no one would shoot the bottom of their boat like that. So the boat was already turned over.
Exactly.
It was going to be shot like that. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know how much will actually be in the logbook, though, if it was a surprise attack. They wouldn't have written anything in there.
We'll find out.
But we got missing days. These people have been out there, these pirate people who are, if there are pirate people, I know you guys are wondering if that's still out there.
Maybe
but
they'll.
There's missing time. And
maybe they'll discover places where they can go on the logbook.
You know? Possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah, that might have some bearing in where they
But
go
they're definitely
going to
see
things.
Where this boat came from, if anything.
True.
Where it was last docked. So Maybe they're going to find out, oh, San Diego is overrun as well. Let's turn around and go back to L.A. and find Tobias.
That's a good point.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You don't want to give in to that fact.
I haven't seen Tobias's name listed for this season, though.
Okay.
I don't think they'll do that until it's...
No, I don't think it's going to happen that quick. I'm just saying that there's reasons where they would probably go back. You go to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they might go back.
We know, that's a good point too. We know that part of the storyline is that they are trying to find a safe place to port. So they're
obviously... And what's the whole start of this season was no safe harbor?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So you got to assume they're going to visit several harbors.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a drive-by.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I have a feeling they're going to be on the boat for a couple more episodes, but then...
Well, they should be.
Eventually, they got to get back to L.A. somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope after that they move on again, because I don't want them to stay in L.A.
No. So is it going to be like the last episode of The Walking Dead? Every harbor they come up on, there's going to be a bunch of guys just standing there, and they're like, damn it.
No.
Move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Should we have a chain of walkers in front of the harbor, like, ah.
Well, this one isn't going to work. But they're going to have to go in these harbors because they got to refuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz Strand was already pointing out the fact that if he guns the engine because this other pirate boat's coming, that he's going to rev the engines too hard and use up the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
That is all they need, actually. I mean, it's the when I first heard they were going on this boat, the first thing I thought of was they'd run out of fresh water in no time.
Yeah,
but they need food. But then, yeah.
But they have a desalinization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's when they brought that up, I was like, great, that's awesome. Okay, mm-hmm. Now they don't need anything but fuel, because they can catch all the food they need.
Yeah, but you need more than just fish.
That's protein.
It is
protein. You don't need more than fish.
That's how the pirates got sick. They didn't have any vegetables.
Well, get the scurvy.
Yeah, that's true.
We got the scurvy. Arr, prepare to be boarded.
Eat some sea cucumbers. Come on.
That's why they really just need to go to Hawaii, where it's a controlled population.
Mm-hmm.
The walkers aren't going to be, or the floaters.
How far is Hawaii from L.A.?
I have no idea.
Miles. It's got to be out of that boat's range.
A far distance.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. If they can get all the way to Ecuador, I doubt that.
No, it's not. It's not the boat's range. I don't think.
Somebody look
it
up.
I'm not sure.
Look it up, Kim. Start clicking.
I'll find out.
All right.
Well, do we want to take a break here, folks?
Yes. I am ready for a refill.
I'm ready, for sure.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. So when we return, we'll discuss some last notes we have on the episode, listener feedback, news, and fear of the Talking Dead. Be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Break yourself.
You had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies, saw boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. A brain hurt like a warehouse, it had no room.
Welcome back, everybody. I would throw you over to Kim, but she is stuffing her face with cookies right now.
Girl Scout cookies, no doubt.
Girl Scout cookies, baby.
Sorry.
So, do you guys have anything else you want to bring up real quick about the episode itself? Stuart?
Well, the only other thing that we hadn't talked about was just the title, Monster, which I hadn't really figured out what that meant.
I haven't either.
Okay, did you have any thoughts?
I do.
Good.
Oh, okay. It was Scott first, because you got food in your mouth. No, go, Kim.
Scott,
go ahead, I'm
Scott
kidding.
Has no thoughts.
Good, par for the course.
Lovely.
All right, so the obvious meaning is our walkers and floaters. Which we gotta stop saying walkers, because they're not walkers in the Fear of the Walking Dead world.
Okay.
They're the infected.
All right. That's true.
But, anyways. Secondly, the fact that they passed up that boat of survivors without rescuing them. They are now becoming the monsters because they have pretty much killed these people by not rescuing them. They're still out in the water.
Okay, so it's almost like a dynamic of what is the monster? Is the monster exactly the people, or is the monster what they're trying to get away from?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a very good point, because it could also be looking at it from the respect of they first considered the walkers to be the monsters, but now they're realizing other people on the water could be the monsters too.
Yeah,
right. They've got the pirates coming for them. They have the whole issue with Travis and his son, and whether Travis did the right thing by killing his ex-wife. Is Travis now a monster? He is in his son's eyes. Mm-hmm. The son had a little, Chris had a little temper tantrum, threw his mom overboard. That's kind of a monstrous thing to do.
Maybe Chris is the monster.
There's all kinds of little things.
And Strand is stranding people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think it makes sense.
Okay.
I also kind of enjoyed the exchange that that Strand and Nick had when Nick was kind of challenging him on, you know, why does Strand have Nick there? What's his usefulness? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Strand came back at him with, you know, how many times could you have died, Nick? You know, and Nick started recounting, you know, all the times he was on drugs and mm-hmm. and so forth. And he said, and you survived them all.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about, you know, getting down to Nick's resourcefulness is what he was banking on.
Right. Cause he had no fear.
Yes. He was Nick exactly. Actually he was very brave. To,
right. Yeah. But he had objected to because he was like, well, I'm an addict. It's not about fear. It's about getting, you know, he was trying to get what he wanted.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very selfish attitude.
Right, but he puts away the thought of dying.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he has the ability to put the thought of everyone, you know,
right.
the concern of everyone away, the concern of himself, in order to get what he needs.
He's a survivor.
Yep.
But anyway, I thought that was a pretty pretty cool exchange, and I think kind of defined, you know, it gave me actually a little bit of a definition of what Strand's about.
Right.
Strand's got tools.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to use his tools.
Right, and he's definitely got something planned for Nick.
Yeah.
Well, I think from the start when Strand was understanding, like, all the shit was going down, that he wanted Nick around as a resource
mm-hmm.
because he can send Nick off on to, you know, to get stuff for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's resourceful. He can go, he can find things. And so, you know, of course he kept him along. I'm not quite so sure why Strand kept everybody else along.
I'm not either.
Make Nick happy.
Yeah, that's, I agree. Right. That's the other thing. I'm not quite sure what's going on with his, having the rest of the crew there.
Yeah, he was definitely pretty short on saying, yeah, I am not picking up anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said, what did he say? He said, seven's my quota?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got his quota.
I got my rescue quota.
Yes.
And it's seven.
he's a shiesty character.
Yeah.
But I love him.
Yep.
Well, you know, I think that was even more, I mean, more to the point when he said, you know, it's his boat, it's his goddamn boat.
That's right. That's right. Don't have any confusion on that point.
Right, because I think a little bit, you know, he was showing a little bit of compassion with all these people around, and then it was just like, listen, you know, he had to kind of put the hammer down and say, mm-hmm. listen, if it wasn't for me, you'd all be dead, which mm-hmm. he said. You'd right. all be burning right now. And, I mean, Come on.
So shut up do what I tell you to do.
It's true. I mean, like, why the fuck did he keep any of these people around?
Yeah.
And to go to this point was, you know, big enough of him as far as the rest of them, why they didn't fight more to save, like, the people that were dying on the other boat. I don't know, but... Well, but yeah, Strand's done his part.
Yeah, it is odd why he has them. I'm sure we'll find out later on that he has a plan for them, that he needs them for certain things. And he'll probably throw them by the wayside at some point. But Strand's going to be an interesting character the rest of the season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the big mystery man, and I think he's got something going on. I do think he was talking to somebody. When Maddie.
Yes. You just can't help
when
it.
Maddie.
I can't. When Maddie heard him and he said he was talking to himself.
When he was talking to Herschel.
Yeah, right.
From beyond the grave. Oh, no, he would have been alive back then.
That's right. He was talking to T-Dog.
You know what, though? He looked stressed as hell when he heard that Alicia was talking to somebody else.
Who did?
And
Strand.
Strand.
Oh, yeah.
Strand did.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked even more stressed as hell when he started looking at the radar.
Yeah.
He was like, we are fucked.
Yep.
Which was actually really nice to see.
Yeah, that he could be emotion.
He could be phased. He could be
caught off. Yeah, he could be caught off guard.
Yep. So.
His nice, sensitive, I don't want to die part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was nice. Good times. Well, I got to say this as my final thought on this episode is I'm sincerely hoping that this is the end of Nick's outfit. That this little dip in the water has finally taken care of that.
Well, maybe Strand will lend him some clothes because he obviously brought stuff with him. So
why didn't he get them when he's in the house?
I don't know.
Jeez.
I don't know.
Yeah. You can use these.
Exactly.
So,
dude, you're a bit smelly.
Did you guys watch The Talking Dead afterwards?
Yeah. Quite thrilled about The Talking Dead.
Yeah,
they're giving it the full treatment.
I'm really excited they're Talking Dead.
Yeah. I think it's taking our Fear of the Walking Dead seriously.
I thought they would have changed the props on the table a little bit.
I have to admit, I didn't even look at that.
They still have the little hands.
Oh, they had, yeah, they had one hell of a week. They didn't have time to clean up.
Yeah.
Well, they should be thinking
that's for
ahead.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, listen to you, the planner.
Those are Negan's props now, by the
but
way.
But I have to say, that Dave Erickson guy, he still annoys the mess out of me. I don't know what it is about him.
He doesn't look happy ever.
No. Like maybe he
even
was
when
dragged
they
talked
the showrunner guy.
Yeah, even when they talked about his wife being there and it was her birthday, he just kind of looks over at her like, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
He just he's not excited about anything.
Nope. I think he's too cool for school.
That's what it seems like. Well, at least he didn't spoil anything this time, like he did last year.
Did he? I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, I can't remember what he did, but he was spoiling all kinds of stuff.
He was hoping to get some more viewership, I think.
Yeah. But it was great. It was great having the Talking Dead. It really, I think, pulls fear into the world of the Walking Dead.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the viewers will be more interested in following this if they have something, that connection like that.
Yeah, because Chris Hardwick's awesome. I think that they have a lot of things going for them. One is that people are still pissed off about the Walking Dead finale.
Yeah. There's that.
Mm-hmm.
And withdrawal. Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that they've got The Talking Dead afterwards, which I totally forgot they even had.
It's going to work it right in the transition.
Right, exactly.
It's like nothing's changed. It's gone on to just this next group.
Right, and that's just exactly how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Well, just to close it all for that episode, I think they stepped it up a lot in this one compared to what we had been seeing before.
Oh, yes.
And you saw a lot of similarities. I mean, it's easy to compare and contrast like specific things as like, oh, well, that was like this and that was like that. But the writing definitely stepped it up a lot to the point of The Walking Dead without, like, copying what they did.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it was really well done. And I'm excited to see the next one, even though, I mean, this was the opening one. So I hope they keep going. I hope they don't slow it down.
Exactly. I don't want to go back to last season's floating soap opera.
I don't either.
It's time to see, to be dealing with outside entities.
Yeah, well, they put a lot on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some good stuff. They I'm teed excited up a lot to see what stuff. Happens.
Yep.
Well, we do have some listener feedback for this week.
What?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So, I'll start out, and then if you guys want to take one each,
we have listeners.
We have a lot of listeners.
When
oh
did
my
that
God.
Happen? Oh man, no one told me.
Yeah. Our last episode went crazy, guys.
Yeah.
We don't want you getting a big ego, Scott.
Thank God.
Well, season finale was good for us, so that's all I have to say. But, so all of these comments came from our Twitter account. @SergeantPepper113 said, floaters in Spanish would be cerotes. Did I say that right?
Nice.
Cerotes.
Yep. Cerotes.
There you go.
Very nice. Yep. The cerotes are in the aqua. All right. Yes, I know no Spanish.
@FLDMFand said, something tells me Strand has ulterior motives of some sort. And to think we always figured the ocean would be safe. Guess not, LOL.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was, you always kept thinking on The Walking Dead, when are they just going to go get on a boat?
Uh-huh.
And get the hell out of the land.
Uh-huh.
And, well, now we're seeing it. And it's not necessarily such a great thing. Lady Dixon KR said, yes, for sure, we got pirates coming.
I don't know, Scott. You sounded like you were hesitant on if there were pirates coming.
Well, I want to leave a little bit of surprise in there. Come on.
Okay.
Come on. Don't kill it
for me.
I mean,
it could just be...
You don't want to turn the next page yet.
It could just be a boat in distress that's coming up. We have no idea.
Well, we know there's pirates out there. It doesn't mean that these folks are the pirates.
That's right.
But we know there's pirates out there because that boat was shot up.
Right. Might not be this boat.
So aqua zombies and pirates, man.
Yep.
Awesome.
You know what was weird that I had not even thought about before? I'm sorry to just totally interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, what if you have, like, other, like... You're on the water.
Yeah.
You know, there's no international boundaries.
Right.
Like, what if you have, like, all these other, you know, countries coming at you? I mean, you got, like, tons of Japanese fishermen, Chinese fishermen, like, all kinds of stuff out there. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to go into that quite so much. I'm just saying.
It's, you mean,
international waters.
Does,
you got lots of stuff going on.
It does
on.
Bring up something that... You know, maybe some countries dealt with this better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Maybe some countries still hold most of their country together.
Yeah.
And maybe they see some of that. I don't know, Stu. That's an interesting point to bring up, and it would be interesting to see if that were brought up. I mean, what if Canada survived?
Oh.
Nah. That's right.
Well, that's a good point, too, because Canada, it's super cold in Canada. And we know that the walkers slow down when they get too cold.
Mm-hmm.
So you could.
So do the humans.
And they really like hockey.
They do.
And
they really like the puck.
Walkers don't do well on ice rinks.
That's true, too.
No, they end up on their faces every time. Every time.
What was that day? Was that Dawn of the Dead or Day of the Dead, maybe? Where they're in the mall?
Yeah. That
and
was
all
the
walkers
of,
are on the...
Dawn of the Dead, yeah.
Yes, the zombies are on the ice rink.
Yes.
Or trying to get up the escalator.
Classic.
That's good stuff.
That's awesome.
If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny. You know, you mentioned that. I saw on Instagram, on Greg Nicotero's site on Instagram, that they had actually taken a picture of a walker that was a tribute walker to the original Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
That they didn't end up using, and he regrets it because he always thought, man, if we had thought about bringing it in on that episode, which starts out in black and white, he would have been perfect.
Oh, right.
But they never did. But if you can look on Greg's Instagram page, it's a pretty cool picture of this zombie, and it's very much from the original Dawn of the Dead.
Okay, cool. Well, that leads us into news.
Bring it.
Which we have quite a few items today. So, going back to the Walking Dead finale, there were a couple of celebrity cameos as walkers during the finale. So I don't know if you guys know who the Harp sisters are, but they are twin sisters that play the harp, and they're actually really good. And they always perform at The Walking Dead. They usually,
Walker Stalker.
Con. Yeah. They play in between panel sessions. So, but they played the walker that Carol killed after she closed the door to
the dumpster walker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the one who attacked her afterwards.
Yeah, we were like, how did she not hear that walker coming? Yeah, right. That was one of the sisters. It's
because it was the harp sound.
Yeah.
That matched their movement.
So one of the sisters played the walker that was like the before walker, so the one that actually got Carol. And then as they're mm-hmm. moving around and Carol starts to take her scalp off, that's the other right. sister. So nice. They could film them at the same time. So that's pretty cool. And then Ashton Kutcher's sister was a walker in the episode. Tasha Kutcher played one of the walkers on the chain gang. She was the one that was on the very far left. She had long mm-hmm. blonde hair. And, you know, Alana Masterson is Danny Masterson's sister, who was on the 70s show. And so... Okay. Of course, Danny Masterson and Ashton Kutcher are still really good friends. And I guess the Kutchers are really big fans of The Walking Dead, and so is her brother. And so Tasha asked if she could be a walker, and for some reason Alana Masterson was like, sure, because I make all the decisions on the show, and asked Greg Nicotero, and they made it happen.
That's pretty cool. I'm surprised we don't see more of that.
I am too. I mean, they've had a couple of of us.
What about Chipper Jones as a walker?
There you go.
Who was that?
A-Rod.
Who was that musician that played a walker? Do you remember? Oh, by the way, I did look up the distance between Hawaii and L.A.
Really?
It's just under 3,000 miles.
Oh.
So they could totally get there.
Very good.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, it's not far off the coast of Japan.
Or maybe they could find Gilligan's Island.
It is actually far off the coast of Japan.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
But maybe they could find Gilligan's Island. That was only a 3-hour cruise. Right?
Maybe.
That's true. 3-hour tour. Yeah. Well, yeah, 3,000 miles on a boat. It's going to take a long time. It will.
Be in for the long haul. You better have supplies to make that trip.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So, the fans of The Walking Dead that were still super pissed about the finale and the fact that they did not find out who Negan killed have started a petition. And over 1,000 fans have signed this petition that would force AMC and Scott Gimple to reveal who was killed. And so, they are saying, as part of their demands, that they want AMC to film a whole new segment showing the reveal, and it has to be aired by May 30th, which is ridiculous.
How many? Did you say 1,000 fans?
Yeah.
You know, that's we weak. Love all our fans. We really do, and we're huge fans of the show ourselves. But Jesus Christ, people, get a life.
I know.
Seriously. Oh, my God. Are you kidding
me? I mean, Scott hated it, but he did not sign this petition.
No, I did not.
Did you?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, good.
No.
Actually, no, he didn't. He started it, but he did not sign it.
It's amazing what you could do with a copy machine.
Yeah, I think you're going to need a lot more than that.
God, that's ridiculous. But,
no. All right. So recently, on an episode of Conan O'Brien's show, Late Night Show, he did an episode, a special episode in Korea. And Steven Yeun was on it.
I saw some pictures from that, right.
Yeah, I posted this on our Facebook page.
Ah, okay.
But Steven Yeun and Conan O'Brien appeared in a video with a Korean pop star, I hope I'm saying this right, J.Y. Park, or is it Jai Park? I have no idea. But they were in a video for the song Fire, And I watched it. It was crazy. They're both wearing makeup. They're dancing around with apparently there were two other Korean pop groups in the video. They're all the girls were Korean pop groups. I don't know. Anyways, it's very, very strange. So if you have
disturbing
a chance,
a little bit.
Yeah, go to our Facebook page and you can see the video. It's crazy.
I think Stephen Yen posted it on his Instagram page, and I think he did write underneath it, disturbing.
Did he?
Well, that's awesome.
He's done a couple of things with Conan O'Brien, so mm-hmm. they must be like BFFs
or
something.
Stephen Yen is enjoying the hell out of his life right now.
Well, he should be.
Yes,
what
he
you,
is.
Which you could see awesome. On Instagram what he's up to. He's just having fun with all kinds of people. So.
I mean, heck, I would be.
Roll with it, brother. Roll with it.
Heck yeah. He might be off the show by the end of the summer.
I got my money on you, buddy. Yeah.
So last night during The Talking Dead, they revealed that a new Fear the Walking Dead game has been released. It was released right after the premiere on Sunday night.
Didn't they have some technical difficulties with it during the show?
What was that? What it was
supposed to release it earlier in the show. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure, but because they had technical difficulties last week too, with people calling
Well, something happened with the game. It didn't work or something, because they were going to release it earlier in the show, and then Hardwick announced that they released it, like, near the end of the show.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't hold it against them. We have technical difficulties all the time here.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. This is a smooth machine. Yeah. Well-oiled machine.
I hide all that.
Stew in his garage. Perfect. Smell of oil.
That's right.
Tires. And podcasting.
Lawn clippings and podcasting.
Well, the new game is called Dead Run, and you can find it, I think it's free, on Apple's iTunes store. And
yes, it is.
It's developed with AMC and with the video game publisher Versus Evil. I'm not really sure exactly like if it's an adventure game or if it's just like a shoot 'em up game, but I know that it puts you at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse in LA, and you become one of the characters of the show. And then you get to visit areas like the church and the high school and a sports arena, so things like that. So it's very much based on the show itself.
Outstanding.
Yes. I have not played it yet. I have not even downloaded it, so I have no idea if it's any good.
No, there are too many video games out there that I would have loved to have played.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just... Don't
I
have
no
time anymore.
That's right.
No.
We're podcasting.
That's right. This is all of our free time in the entire week right here.
Dressing children and making lunches.
Oh, stop your crying already. Jesus.
That's all I can do anymore.
You poor people. Kim, you got any more news?
Yes, I do.
Bring it.
Gail-Ann Hurd, the executive producer of Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead, has a new show coming out on Sci-Fi tonight, actually, and it's called Hunters. It's based on the book by the same name by Whitley Strieber, who wrote all the Alien books back in the day.
Talk about an odd cat. That guy.
Yeah, he is super crazy weird. I think this one is just up that alley. So,
yeah.
I mean, it looks pretty good from the previews, but I don't know. But it's about a police investigator whose wife disappears. And during the course of the investigation, he discovers that someone is abducting people and then framing them as runaways. Does this sound familiar, Scott?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this sounds like the X-Files big time.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. And it does deal with federal agents, so there you go. But federal agents at the same time are investigating these crimes, and so then their paths cross and they all team up together and try to solve all these crimes. But basically what's going on is that there are people that are aliens that you don't know are aliens. And so it's the struggle between who's the bad guy versus who is not. And it's supposed to be an allegory about terrorism. Go figure.
Okay.
And about the fear of other people.
You do know that Whitley Strieber was actually taken by aliens.
Yes. I know. I read all those books.
That's hilarious.
This is the guy that you're saying is like crazy.
He's out there, all right.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So that premieres tonight, Monday night, on Sci-Fi.
Well, Well, good luck, Gail.
And the last bit of news is that the Italian comic book Garrett is going to be made into a TV show by Wildside Production Company. And this comic book is really huge over in Europe. It has like a cult following. I have never heard of it, but I'm sure some of our listeners have. But it's like a spaghetti western type story. And it features Indians, Native Americans, that are actually zombies. And it also has glam rock cowboys in it.
Oh.
So that's a great mixture.
Glam?
What is a glam rock cowboy?
Well, think about it. Like David Bowie back in the 70s or
as a cowboy.
Queen.
Ziggy, you know? Ziggy Stardust cowboy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds
and so
weird.
They're going to shoot this show in Spain, but they're going to have American actors, but there's no word yet on when it's actually going to happen, who has purchased the rights for it. We have no other information.
What glam rock cowboys they're going to find.
Who is going to watch this?
But because they're making all these zombie shows, I'm like starting to get worried that people are going to go into zombie overload, like the whole vampire thing.
Mm. Yeah.
I think they're taking it a bit too far.
Yeah. Well,
don't you think?
Yeah. A lot of them have fallen by the wayside that they've tried. I mean, sci-fi is doing everything they can to get zombies out there. Mm. I mean, oh my God. Really?
Yeah, they're trying to watch.
But they got like zombie sharks in a, in a tornado.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What?
Hey, speaking of which though, I love the preview for that show Priest.
Oh, I know. Preacher.
Yeah.
Preacher. Yep. That looks really cool. I don't know anything about it. I know it was a comic book series, but I don't know a thing about it. But that preview looked really cool.
I reported on that several episodes ago, but I can't remember what the details were now.
Kim gets a cookie.
Another one?
Yes.
Be quiet.
Go for it, Kim. No, it does look good, though. It does look really good. And I, to be honest, I thought last year they had a whole series called Preacher, but...
No.
No. This is
that's when they started talking about it, though. It was last year.
Okay, can I ask, though?
Yeah.
Since earlier in the in our early podcast, when we were first fledgling podcasters, we talked about Into the Badlands. Is that still around?
I haven't heard anything about it.
I guess maybe not.
I don't remember that one. What was that one?
Into the Badlands.
They shoved everybody's throat.
Yeah, they made everybody.
Yeah, that thing died, huh?
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to come back.
Maybe it is, but.
Maybe.
There's not much buzz. I know I watched one episode of it and was.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't impressive. A lot of poppies.
Yes.
A lot of poppies. Is that why you didn't like it?
Yeah. Too many flowers. flowers freak me out.
Yeah.
You know that. Clowns and flowers.
I'm sorry.
Kim, is that all the news that's fit to print?
That is it.
All right.
Well reported.
Yes. Next week on Fear of the Walking Dead, season 2, episode 2, We All Fall Down. Okay. The group seeks shelter with a survivalist family, and Madison tries to uncover the family's true motives. Meanwhile, Salazar works to discover Strand's intentions. No clue on the director. No clue on the writer. No clue on the predictions. Now, what do you guys have for predictions in this next show?
Well, I'm wondering if that's the boat that is speeding up on them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they already know that the people that are coming after them in a faster boat, so...
Evidently, they survived that confrontation, because they make it to the survivalist camp, so...
Well, our show would be over quick if they didn't.
Yeah, that's true. No, but I'm waiting to... I'm excited to see what the confrontation's all about, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. As far as predictions of where they're going to go, I don't know. They could go anywhere. They could completely turn around from going south and head back to where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to find that, I mean, they were secluded from so much bad that was happening outside of their world they are getting ready to get introduced to. So
I
think there's a lot of storylines that they could follow.
I would personally like to see them go north. I'd like to see them head towards San Francisco, maybe get up to the Northwest. That to me would be cool. I would love to see that show centered in the Northwest.
That's
because
the beer is better up there.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But you got sneaker waves. You got to watch out.
Ooh.
Cliffs are higher.
Yes.
The ocean gets a little rougher up there.
Yeah, and Oakland. Ugh. But
okay. Well, they're filming in Mexico, in Baja, Mexico.
I think we know where they're going.
I mean, it would be hard to say that that's the Pacific Northwest.
I would say they're going to hit San Diego, and it's not going to be anything that they can use.
Of course not.
They're going to keep going south.
No, they're going to go to several ports before it's time to debark.
Well, evidently next week they're going to some survivalist port.
Yeah. I must say I'm actually kind of excited about seeing it. So
I am too. I'm psyched. Love this season.
Yep.
The season has gotten off to a great start.
I agree. Totally agree.
Bravo.
Especially well coming done. Off the finale from last week. I was really expecting to be disappointed.
Yeah, well, you know I was already kind of psyched up for this and it didn't disappoint as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's a completely different world, and there is a lot to happen, and it's enough to shut everyone up after what happened with The Walking Dead, because that was like, I mean, everybody was extremely pissed off.
Yeah, so let's move on. Let's enjoy this new series. Let's enjoy what's going on there, folks. Yeah. We got
Just
a lot
drop
to love.
It.
Got a lot of
good
here.
Stuff. Good stuff.
We'll come back in October and figure out who, you know, how Glenn died. But we will enjoy our show until then.
You're still wanting that money, Scott.
Of course he is.
What? What money?
So,
yes, I am.
Before we close it out, I found out who the Walker was. Scott and Ian from Anthrax.
Who? What Walker?
Which Walker?
Oh.
I don't know what episode he was on, but
oh, it's another one that was in the show.
Yeah,
Celebrity Walker.
It was
gotcha. Cool.
It was like season 5 or 4, I think, that he was on. Anyways,
gotcha.
Just need to throw that out there. So, anybody else have anything to say about anything?
Nine.
Okay.
Go Yankees.
No, God damn it. I'm cutting that. Go Red Sox.
Lame.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us once again, but this time for Fear the Walking Dead and for the season premiere. You can find us on Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook and on the web at www.fearmepodcast.com. If you want to get in touch with us or send us your thoughts on our episodes, you can email us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. So we'll be back next week, and we'll review episode 2 of Fear the Walking Dead. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Good night.
Good night, and thanks for all your comments.